to The Early Edge, brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Happy Thursday. Hope you're enjoying the Open Championship. Some Corrales Punta Cana going on. We might have a first-round leader sweat over there. Let's take a look at the recap screen. What were we sweating yesterday? We go 2-4. It's a losing day. Obviously, we knew we were going to hit one and lose one with that Argentina matchup. But shout out to Martin for hitting both teams to score at minus 105. So we hit an even money, hit a minus 105, but 2-4, not going to get it done. Before we bring in the stars of the show, let's see if we can get a sports line pick to get us back on track. And yeah, baseball's back, kind of. We got a game today. We're going to talk a lot about it. If you have picks in this Phillies-Mets game, let us know in the chat. But we've got the Mets money line plus 112, courtesy of Micah Roberts. And speaking of sports line experts, let's bring in the stars of the show. Because, ladies and gentlemen, look at this. On a Thursday, we've got Mike McClure, we've got AMAG, Zach Simony, and Danny Brasco. Where do I begin? Mike, I got to begin with you. We haven't seen you in a little bit. Have you caught up with the Open Championship at all? Or are we sleeping through it, which is very understandable?
Oh, no, definitely caught up. Loving the start that we've seen to the Open Championship. My guy, Ryan Gerard, 4-under in the lead, T1. I backed Scottie Scheffler for the first time this season. Scottie is 3-under and an overwhelming favorite to win the tournament already. So, yes, fired up. With the Open Championship, everything looks really, really good so far on that.
Yeah, Scottie Scheffler, good at golf. AMAGS, by the way, I cheated. I looked ahead. We've actually got a Yankees pick on this show from somebody on this panel, but you know that we've got the Mets-Phillies tonight. Is that what you're coming to the show with, a pick on that?
I am, and it's the first time I believe I've ever worn a Mets hat on this show, and now I am okay wearing a Mets hat, never a Red Sox hat. That is my rule. And I'm a sucker for a mascot hat. So I had to throw it on here today. And yeah, we're going to take a little side on the Mets, take a little angle there.
Zach, level set on the summer league. Like, where are we in the summer league? Are we in the middle of it, at the beginning of it still? What's going on?
Yeah, we're towards the end of it. It ends on the 19th, you know, which is pretty quick. It's usually a week and a half, 10 days right around there. But if you were following it before, they do play some early summer league action in California and Salt Lake City, I still believe, as well. So it has been about 2 weeks, but nearing the end, about to get to the consolation games and the playoffs after tomorrow.
And Brasco, before we finally get into picks here, UFC is in OKC. How are we feeling about the card this week?
It's a big main event. Dricus du Plessis versus Kamaru Usman. Usman's a former dominant welterweight champ, but at 39 years old, he's going up to 185. It's a really big fight for the division, considering du Plessis is coming off losing his belt in bad fashion to Khamzat Chimaev. So he's got a lot to prove against a tough stylistic matchup. Great main event. See a lot of other good fights on the card. I'm fired up for it as usual.
All right, we're going to start the show. By the way, Robbie Hockey in the chat, who, of course, we met at the meetup in Chicago. He says, respect AMAX. I'd never wear a Yankees hat either. Funny, because we're actually starting with the future on this show. And Mike McClure, I think AMAX is going to be pretty happy about this future.
Yeah, look, not a lot of games today. Nothing to get into today for me. So I'm looking at a future on the New York Yankees. I like them to win the AL East still, guys. Three games back, plus 125 the price point. I make this a lot closer to even money where it should be. In fact, I would make them a slight favorite. I know, again, they're down three games to the Rays here. You have to look, though. They play the Rays four times remaining, but when they play them, second to last series of the season in late September in New York, that's critical to me. When you look at this Yankees team, you know what's coming, right? What's coming is the trade deadline. They're almost always hyper-aggressive at the trade deadline. That's going to help. And then you look at the injury situation. I think we'll have Aaron Judge back. I think we'll have Giancarlo Stanton back, at least in late August at the latest, where we've got a full month to really continue to make some ground up here. As far as pitching, you're going to have Max Fried and Carlos Rodon coming back, potentially Clark Schmidt. Max Fried, most excited about here, has already been throwing the live hitter.
When that happens, I think this is going to be a great, great spot for them. You see in the chat right now, Mason Miller to the Yanks. I think that is extremely likely to happen as well. I like this spot overall for the Yankees. I think they're being discounted a little bit. I think they're a drastically different team when you've got health. And again, that important matchup head-to-head with the Rays, four games late September in New York.
AMAGS, your reaction to Mike's pick?
Yeah, I do like it, and I agree. Like, the Yankees have a ton of additions that are coming back, that are internal additions, guys coming back off the aisle. This is Brian Cashman's, you know, like greatest thing to say every year is that at the trade deadline, we're getting X, Y, and Z back from injury, so those guys count too. Well, you know, this year they are with Max Fried and Aaron Judge and, you know, so many other guys that they really can kind of slot in. So I think that once those guys come back from injury and they do make a few moves at the deadline, they'll be a very strong team. And I, once again, think the cream of the crop of the AL.
Brasco, you seem to be withholding a smile there. Are you back in the Yankees here as well?
I mean, obviously, you know, I ride or die for my Bombers, but I recently tuned in to watch them strike out 17 times in a row in two straight games. So I haven't been loving the look of the team, and it's just nice to hear a lot of optimism and hope from M2 and AMAGS.
Speaking of M2, first of all, we're going to get to Summer League, a Summer League pick from Zach in just a second. But Mike, J. Walter Weatherman, welcome to the show, J. Walter. Make sure you're subscribed to the Sportsline YouTube channel. He says M squared, and you might not have one here, but he says any live golf play before you answer from 12 to 1 o'clock on CBS Sports Network. We're going to be talking World Cup Final, but we're also going to lead the show with some live golf action with Mike McClure, Brady Cannon, and myself. So make sure you tune into CBS Sports Network at 12 o'clock today. Mike, thoughts on a live play, or is it just too early to figure it out?
You know, it's early. I think there's a better chance that we have something on that show on CBS Sports Network. I like Scotty. He's playing extremely well. I know that the number's a lot shorter than you could have had pre-tournament. Anytime you get a good round one from Scotty, you have to look out. That's been kind of the knock on Scotty this season, the slow starts on Thursdays. I think he's locked in. I really think he's winning this tournament. Other guys I would continue to look at, you know, Rory, I still like Rory a little bit. I like Colin Morikawa, top 20 plus 160 right now. But yeah, we need a little more information, kind of at the awkward spot with the different start time here.
Yeah, that's totally true. And I will say this, after the round, after the Open Championship and the Corrales round, I may have some live outrights to consider for both tournaments. I will say I have a pending golf play. They're early from yesterday, obviously, the matchup I gave out. They're early in the matchup. We're down two strokes, Kiefer versus Cootie, but again, a long way to go. So we'll see what happens there. Let's get to some Summer League. Another pick for tonight, Zach Simony. Talk to me about the Oklahoma City. Speaking of UFC OKC, talked about the OKC Thunder, Zach.
Yeah, this spread is -1.5 see it today. It's the first game of Summer League action at 1 o'clock here in Vegas against the Dallas Mavericks. And you look at the Thunder, they're the only winless team in the NBA Summer League right now, with Milwaukee getting the win last night. But you go back to last year, this team was undefeated in Summer League play, 4-0 in Vegas before losing in the semifinals. You have Brooks Barnheiser that was a part of that team. I think it's just a chance to get in the win column. You look at this Dallas Mavericks team, they're coming off being the biggest underdog to win in NBA Summer League play on Tuesday, where they won as a 9.5-point underdog against the Memphis Grizzlies. And this team, this OKC team, has a weird trait. They have three players that played at Iowa in Peyton Sanford, Bennett Sturts, and Josh Dix. Dix and Sanford played at Iowa in 2024. And then I just want to put caution on this as well. This time in Summer League play, there's a chance that the top players will sit out. Adai Mara, Bennett Sturts, you want to monitor, because this spread could move to 2.5. If that is the case, this would be a void for me.
All right. OKC Thunder, -1.5, -105. But make sure you take a look at the starting lineups. AMAGS, real quick in the chat, we've got some questions. Obviously, we do have a Major League Baseball game back today, and we'll have the full complement tomorrow. I know you're about to give out your pick, but there was somebody in the chat that was referring to Juan Soto just going off against Aaron Nola. It was DJPX. Just real quick thoughts on Juan Soto.
Yeah, I had him as like the clear number one for hits, runs, and RBIs projection today. And actually, that's kind of where my play comes from a little bit, is that when you looked at a bunch of these Mets, there was some good value on, you know, 4, 5, 6 hitters here for the hits, runs, and RBIs against Aaron Nola. So as some of you may have already seen, I faded Nola earlier this morning on the outs under 16.5. I still wouldn't even mind under 15.5, but definitely would rather the 16.5 we got. And partially is because of how Juan Soto matches up. So I do like that one.
All right. And before we go to a very quick break, Danny Brasco, speaking of DJPX, some good questions from him. He says, Brasco, will Tommy McMillan be 11-0 this weekend?
Tommy Guns. This is an awesome matchup against Alberto Montes, a guy with a nasty front choke series, the Darces, the Anacondas. But he's facing a kid who is not afraid. Tommy Guns is a product of the Red Hawk Academy with Sean O'Malley and Tim Welch. And he's just going to fight you with pace, pressure, a wild style. He opened as the dog. Now he's a minus 150 favorite. I think you're seeing the line move for a reason. I like him to stay undefeated, DJPX. He's a fun fighter to watch, and watch for his rise.
All right. We've got some picks in the chat, some more summer league. Let's see. Daniel Greer says Grizzlies and Hawks over 183 and a half, minus 105. BetMGM players will receive an odds boost for the Open Championship. To use the token, just make a bet in the Open Championship and activate the boost. If you win, you'll receive extra winnings in unrestricted bonus dollars courtesy of BetMGM. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get to more picks. We've got the baseball game, an official pick on that, and maybe a long shot lean from AMAGS. Of course, we've got UFC and answers to your questions right after this message from our partners. We're back on the early edge. AMAGS from Richard Pierre. Before you give out your official play, talk to me about Francisco Alvarez. He says over 1.5 total bases is plus 195.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? At almost 2-1 there. I don't dislike it. If you look what he did last time, they faced this lineup faced Nola back on June 18th, and he did have a 105 mile an hour single that he hit against him. So not a double, didn't get you over the total bases, but he did hit him hard in limited action. So I don't dislike that one. And Richard Pierre is always kind of on it, so I'd be down to tail him.
He absolutely is. All right, let's talk about your official play, Amex.
All right. Well, I've already talked about it a good bit here, but yeah, the Mets, I'm going to go team total over 4.5 runs here tonight against Aaron Nola. You're going to get, low 90 degree weather. You're going to get some wind that is about double digits, kind of cutting across the field, maybe blowing out to right to the point of Juan Soto going off and potentially hitting a home run here tonight. I do think that is a good angle to have a little bit of money down on. And it kind of, again, just goes back to the point of I had Polanco and Lindor and Soto and even guys like Brett Beatty down the lineup where they were projecting, really solid against Aaron Nola here tonight. So I've already faded Nola under 16.5 outs on the pitcher prop. I think that, with the off day looming tomorrow, the days off they just had, there's kind of no reason to really push him if he's struggling. And to the point of the pick here, I do think he is going to struggle at some point against this lineup. You've seen, I know that the ERA at home has really been bad for him. It's over 6, actually approaching 7. But you've seen recently all throughout June and July here, like he's giving up at least a few runs in each start. Even if he pitches well, he's giving up 2 to 3 runs. You're getting this at 4.5 here, like I said, in a very solid hitting environment that should benefit the bats. And guys like Soto and Lindor and Jorge Polanco back in the lineup, when all those guys are projecting well for hits, runs, and RBIs, I guess I could just bet 4 or 5 of them. But then I start to think about, well, why don't we just take the team total where you can kind of capture everything? And hey, maybe if Richard Pierre's guy, Francisco Alvarez, goes off, that wouldn't be someone I would specifically be looking to bet. But if he goes off, I'll be happy with it too with this bet. So this kind of covers all our bases. I'd be happy to take some individual hit run RBI or player props. But I'm just going to go with over 4.5 runs here on the Mets. I have them projecting well over 5, and in even some spots, some projection systems have them over 6 runs here tonight. So I do like them as the away team for 5 runs. And Ben, I know I mentioned it before we started. I'd like to at least throw this one in real quick. I'm going to take Juan Soto for 2 walks. 423 on DraftKings, plus 423 is the price. If you look at him in just in July, kind of recently, he's had 3 games of multi-walks. And I think that the 2 home runs he hit against Nola last time, they are not going to let that happen. That was June 18th. Like, it wasn't that long ago. They're going to remember that he teed off for 2 home runs against Nola. I think they let somebody else beat them tonight. If we saw Juan Soto actually walked in his 3rd at bat against Nola in that game, he was much more careful with him, taking it to a full count. I think that something very similar may happen here tonight. So while I do think Soto could go off if he gets some pitches to hit, maybe he just doesn't get him. And 425 for a quarter unit, I'm just going to kind of lay that one down there. You win, over a unit if it comes back, and you don't lose too much if it doesn't. So take a shot on that one, and hopefully the Mets score tonight.
All right, maybe we'll see some of that action in the Sportsline Discord. Speaking of the Sportsline Discord, I mentioned the first round leaders for the alt event, which of course is Corrales Punta Cana. For those of you that are not members of the Sportsline Discord, I actually tweeted this out as well, but I put those first round leader picks in the golf tab in the Sportsline Discord, just so everybody knows. Let's get to some UFC, Danny. By the way, we got a lot of questions, baseball, some PGA, maybe some summer league. We'll get to those after Danny Brasco goes. But Danny, again, UFC OKC, you've got a couple of picks for us.
Yeah, there's some interesting fights on this card, and let's start with the very first one. It's a really high-level matchup between prospects that have a lot of potential, and I like that the UFC just put them right in the big show. Forget Contender Series. These guys are ready. I'm going with the dog, Ezra Elliott, at plus 130, really because if he lives up to the hype, we may not get to bet him at a price like this for a while. He's facing a very skilled fellow grappler in Damian Anderson, a guy who I really like from the tape study that I've seen on him. But Elliott, the 7-0 fighter who's finished all seven of his opponents early in his career so far, another product of the Red Hawk Academy with Tim Welch, Sean O'Malley, they've got some fighters on this card, and also training at MMA Lab. I just really think this guy's the real deal. Against the fence, his grappling is nasty. He does these really crafty, tricky things. He can wall walk. He can find body triangles from all sorts of positions. He uses his lanky frame to just lace up his opponents and keep them smothered. And I think he can have success in the grappling. Really, a lot of people say, watch out for Damian Anderson. He's going to surprise you and potentially out-grapple Elliott. But Elliott's coaches are saying that he's submitting adult BJJ champions as a really young fighter. So a guy that's still coming into himself and already proving himself at a high level in the gym, I'm buying the hype. I want to believe it. And I'm going to say that if he wins this fight, especially by finish in dominant fashion, like I mentioned earlier, we may not get to bet him at this price before. I like the way he strikes too to set up his grappling. He throws long straight punches into knees and then shoots the blast double leg. It's hard to see a string of combinations with a takedown at the end coming like that. And I think that kind of style ends up winning out in this fight. Next up, this guy I'm getting two plays on. I like Seokhyun Ko to dominate this fight once more. And I slept on him in his debut. I took the Welsh gangster Obon Elliott, who has not panned out since that fight. Elliott lost every second of this bout. And since then, I've got my eye on Seokhyun Ko, a guy that can just wrestle his opponents into the ground. He's extremely physically strong. He's got a good fight IQ for someone not too, you know, far in their MMA career. And I like his movement out of the southpaw stance. He's bouncy in and out of range. He fires a hard left cross down the middle that can get his opponents respect. And he's fighting a guy in Jean-Paul Lobosniani who's very skilled everywhere. I like him. He's a well-rounded MMA player. He's athletic. He's explosive. But I don't see any area that he's really going to beat Ko in. And I think he can get wrestled. I think he's going to get dominated off of his back. Ko hasn't lost a round yet in the UFC. In fact, he got a 10-8 score against Phil Rowe from one judge in his last fight. So that being said, I'll take him on the spread. Give me Ko -3.5. I'll drink the juice on the money line at -205, but give me plus 100 for Ko to once more win every round. I don't see where Lobosniani outmatches him in this fight. And finally, guys, let's go to the main event of the evening, Kamaru Usman versus Dricus du Plessis. This is a tricky matchup considering du Plessis just got grappled by Khamzat. He was out of options. He totally just got dominated on bottom. But this is a much different grappling style. And at 39 years old, in a five-rounder, up a weight class, I just don't know if Usman can fight perfect and beat Dricus. So I'll take du Plessis to win by knockout or by decision, because I think as this fight carries on, you're going to see a guy who I call the greatest caveman of all time just start to wear on Kamaru Usman. Dricus is strong. He's powerful. He looked huge at the weigh-ins too. I've never seen Usman so outsized. And he's awkward. He's got weird timing on his punches. He doesn't need to hit you with something clean and technical. He can just find a random short shot at any moment. That's kind of how I see this fight playing out. Usman might be winning until he isn't. His wrestling could be working until just a random long Superman punch or an awkward hook catches him and starts to turn the tides of this fight. Dricus says he watches that Khamzat fight twice a week and vowed to come back as a better defensive grappler. A lot of people have their question marks saying, hey, Usman's grappled and dominated so many people at 170. But at 185 pounds, I just don't see it working for five rounds. And at any moment, Dricus can flip the tides of this fight. So I'm going to take him either by decision to start to take over in the back half, or maybe even find that knockout shot. See ya. Beat some of the juice, get minus 175. But also on HQ yesterday with UC, I gave out knockout rounds 3, 4, 5 at plus 600. So if you want to spice it up a little bit, it's another way you can play this main event.
We're happy for the extra plays, the spicing it up. Take it, you know, obviously at your own risk when we're throwing out plus 600s or two walks. That's stuff that we kind of like, we want to sprinkle on, and you can consider as well. Addison in the chat says he's going to drop some F1 plays tomorrow. So I love to see people already talking about plays they're going to drop in the chat tomorrow. Now, here's the thing. Speaking of plays, hey, Max, I got a question for you, and it's from Dweezy Dub. Mets first five plus a half at minus 135. I mean, here's the thing about my lack of picks today. So I had a pick for the Corrales Punta Cana. It was a three ball that wasn't going to start for a couple of hours. But for whatever reason, I guess because the books have so much attention paid to the Open Championship, they scrapped all the matchups, even the ones that haven't happened yet. And I'm not just talking about MGM, like all of them, DK, FanDuel, there are no matchups, there are no three balls. You could have taken them before the tournament started, you know, this very early this morning or last night. I didn't realize they were going to scrap, and that never happened. So I don't have a golf pick. Obviously, we're monitoring the Kiefer pick, but if I knew that I wasn't going to have a golf pick, A-Mags, I probably would have gone to this first five plus a half. You know how much I like that, and minus 135 is expensive, but I mean, it's Aaron Nola on the mound. Just give me your thoughts on this play.
Yeah, I would side with getting the half of the run here. I would much rather have the half a run and you know, a 2-2, 3-3, first five, you would still cash. The only thought is I really didn't love Christian Scott on the other side. I know he's been kind of good-ish over his last few starts here. But if you look against the Phillies, I mean, he threw 82 pitches in 4 1/3, gave up 2 runs on 3 hits. I kind of just wanted to not try to pinpoint if Scott was going to be good here out of the break or not. I just felt a bit more comfortable saying, I think Nola is going to be bad against the Mets. So that was my angle, but I would take the half a run if you're betting the first five.
Hey, Mike, I see you kind of nodding along, but I don't know if it's because you're catching like Scotty on the final hole at the Open Championship, or you have an opinion on this Mets-Phillies game.
Not a strong opinion on it. The only thing, the question I've seen is a lot of talk on the total, both liking both sides. Saw a question in the chat about laying like minus 135 on the Phillies team total over. I would say if you're looking to do that, I would just simply play the over in the game with the home team like that. So that's my only real feedback here would be if you like Phillies team total over, I would play the over in the game.
Brasco, there's a question from Dweezy Dub that I want to get to for you. But before we do that, Zach, I do have a question because you said that Summer League is wrapping up, I think, just in a few days. I happen to be looking at the futures market. I know I'm catching you cold here, but would there be any reason to invest in a Summer League future at this point? I mean, I see the Hawks at plus 220, the Lakers plus 250, the Nets plus 400, and then a drop off to the Warriors at almost 10 to 1. Is that something you ever even look at?
Not at this stage, no, because you pretty much you could be out of mathematically, you could be out of the equation because only four teams are going to play in the NBA Summer League playoffs. So you don't want to tie your money up that way. But on the Mets side of things, I do agree with you guys on that because we're kind of still in All-Star break. And we've seen the Philly love just crash with Kyle Schwarber in the home run derby, the National League team with Christopher Sanchez. So I would keep fading that Philly love right now in an isolated game.
Yeah, I do like that first five plus a half. Danny Brasco, I saw you kind of chuckling at the chat. And then, A-Mags, I'll get to you as well. But also, can you answer Dweezy Dub's question? Because a lot of people don't know UFC, and they want to bet it. They want to mix in. And he says, can Brasco further explain Co minus 3.5? I don't understand. Maybe I'm a knucklehead. You're not a knucklehead. People who don't bet UFC might not know that, Brasco.
Yes, spread betting is still fairly new to a lot of UFC bettors, so not a knucklehead at all, bro. Really, it comes down to the combined judges' scorecards. So Co would need to win 30-27, winning all rounds, basically. So say he won 29-28 unanimous, that combined judges' scorecards would mean he would win by 3 rounds and we would lose by the hook. So we need at least one judge to say Co won every round to cover that spread. That's how that works in the UFC. And Sia, someone put up odds on our hair. It's even, plus 100, Sia versus Brasco's hair.
Wow. That's a favorable line for you. No offense.
I mean, you immediately looked offended when you heard the line. You're like,
I thought it was at least like a minus 140.
The quaff gives him a slight edge, I think, as the favorite.
Yeah, it's not even a great hair day, if I'm being honest. A-Mags, you had something to add in. What was it?
Well, to Zach's point, too, when you have the home team for the All-Star game, whether you're an All-Star or not, like, your clubhouse is invaded. Your facilities are invaded, right? It's much tougher to be in there getting swings, you know, whereas the Mets could easily, the guys that didn't make the All-Star team, easily go into their clubhouse and take their swings, you know, do whatever they have to do at their own facilities. And then you've got family in town. You've got people that want to come into town and see the game. They want to be there for the festivities, right? There's all these other things as Phillies players you have to think about, whereas I just don't think that, you know, a vast majority of the Mets had to deal with that same thing. So definitely would be pumping the brakes on back in the Phillies just right out of the break here.
Yeah, that's totally fair. All right, I'm looking at the chat to see if there's any questions I missed before we get to the recap screen. Oh, here we go. So, and Brasco, I'll get to you in a second. Ramo says, and unfortunately, there's not a number here, so this is really hard to analyze, Ramo. Thoughts on Harper, 3+ hits, runs, RBIs, AMAX?
Yeah, so Harper was the only one from the Philly side that I actually had some interest in for hits, runs, and RBIs. He projected well and right up there with some of those Mets hitters. And I actually believe I had looked it up here real quick, but Harper was like one of the only guys that had success, I think, in that last start against Christian Scott. Yeah, he had a home run on the 27th, 105 miles an hour, you know, 380 feet. So Harper was the one that if you're going to the Philly side, I would take.
Yeah, Glenn Kalivas says he likes Harper as well. Mike McClure, go ahead.
Yeah, just general kind of rule there. You're talking about home team Harper. And when you're looking at 3+ hits, runs, on RBIs, I would almost always be defaulting to looking at either team totals or just team success in general. A lot of that is required when you're talking about where he hits in the order, needing that many hits, runs, RBIs. It's extremely correlated to them, you know, scoring 4+ runs in this game.
Good call. AMAGS, go ahead.
And I would say my interest was him at over 1.5.
Yeah.
Not at 3, by the way.
Brasco from Matthew Chalk. I know you had something as well, but he says he parlayed DDP plus Pineda at -123. Your thoughts there, and then you had something else as well.
Pineda? I'm not Pineda? Is there a Pineda on this card? Am I missing a fight?
Michael Pineda?
Oh, God, don't remind me.
Is he kidding? Okay, so Matthew Chalk, clear up that question because we don't know who Pineda is. But Brasco, you had something else as well.
Well, I just saw my guy Frogman in the chat bring up the Gable Steveson bad beat from last week. I just wanted to remember that. We had him see, I gave it out with you on HQ, to win by knockout in under half a round, meaning he's got to get his opponent out of there in 2.5 minutes. The referee jumps in at 2:32. So I thought we're going to cash it. He's beating him up on the ground. They run the clock 1 second too long for us just to play us. We had that, Frogman. So just unbelievable beat.
That's brutal. Zach, you had something as well.
Yeah, just to answer Daniel Gruff's question on buying the Warriors -7.5 against the Knicks. Says they have to win by 5 to still stay alive to play in the playoffs, but they should have won against Memphis, so I do have a problem chasing once again. That was their last game. They were 2-0. They lost outright as 6-point favorites, so I would not chase another high spread since they just lost.
Oh, fair enough. All right. I think we can probably get to the recap screen now, unless I missed something. Again, not a ton of picks today. We do have my golf pick carried over from yesterday, but tomorrow we'll be kind of back to normal. Right, AMAGS? We got a full complement of MLB. We might have some World Cup to talk about as well, maybe some WNBA. But, you know, it's weird, AMAGS, not having baseball for basically 3 days.
Yeah, it's forced me to go to McDonald's multiple times and try to get those World Cup cups, right? I got the Grimace Cup, which was ridiculous, by the way. It shouldn't even be in the thing. And yes, we've got people talking about the Grimace Cup. So I've been lost, honestly. Yes, we have a full slate of all these games. We're actually waiting on a lot of pitcher information, too. So the next 12 to 24 hours will be very interesting to see who we get for all these teams to pitch tomorrow.
Brasco, by the way, Gipper's picks jumping in. Pineda is PFL.
That's right. I just looked at the PFL card. I haven't been researching it. I'm totally UFC focused. But Jesus Pineda, -520. He's a firecracker. Fighter I really like to watch. If you want to parlay him, I don't see him losing that fight. So beat the juice a little.
All right. Katie Taylor in the chat. MLB, she says, MLB forcing me to back either the Phillies or the Mets is cruel. Well, you could, you know, take a run total or something or some sort of under and not back any of them. But I do like that Mets versus 5+ half. All right, let's get a look at the recap screen. We'll have more PGA for you on this show tomorrow as well. I may have to get a Corrales three ball or matchup in the Sportsline Discord before tomorrow morning's show, because again, they might scrap those three balls again, which would leave me a little empty-handed on this show. All right, we go UFC. Ezra Elliott, Moneyline, plus 130 from Danny Brasco. And Seokhyun Ko, Moneyline, minus 205. And KO and Ko, minus 3.5 at even money. And then we got Duplessis by KO or decision, minus 175. Again, those all from Danny Brasco. We go to baseball tonight. We've got baseball tonight. Mets over 4.5 runs, minus 102. And this is just a bonus long shot that we're just putting up for everybody to see. Not so much an official play as much as it is, hey, we want you to see this pick. There's not a lot of picks on today's show. It's a bonus long shot. Juan Soto, 2+ walks at plus 423. We got Mike McClure, Yankees to win the AL East at plus 125, which the majority of this panel absolutely loved, me not included. OKC Thunder, -1.5 tonight at minus 105. That one from Zach Simony. And we do have a sports line pick, and it was the Mets money line from Micah Roberts at plus 112, fading Aaron Nola. We really are. If you're a sports line member, you saw some picks come in last night fading Aaron Nola. Those lines have since moved, so they're too stale to give out on the morning show. But again, if you remember a sports line, you would have seen AMAX put some of these picks in last night, and that's not just AMAX. It's the entire sports line universe that puts those picks in, and then you have access to them. All right, I think that'll do it. Thanks, everybody, for being in the chat. Again, a somewhat slow-ish sports day, but we're going to be churning on again at 12 to 1. We'll be talking World Cup and Open Championship, and we're back to normal baseball tomorrow. So make sure you're dialed into the Sportsline YouTube channel tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Until then, we rest our case.